settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling. And with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be talking about inheriting the divine. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines will be open, and it's toll free. And the number to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, but it's not an awful lot of money. Believe me, I've done it many times. And it's 001, that's the code. So we'll start again. 001-530-876-32. I'll say that one again for the international callers. 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, and that is 9 p.m. GMT UK time. We have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services that we do, which is to do with geophysical stress and ghost management and animal health diagnostics, then please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and I've been doing it for about 13 years now. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through. And I don't know anything at all about what has happened during this time that I'm away. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported somewhere else in the ether world by the spirit team who work with us. And then what they do is they bring me back again at the end of the session, safe and sound, when Gregory leaves. So not only do I miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either. But sometimes it's kind of like having a weird sort of dream state, I suppose, where I would always usually leave my body backwards. That's one of the sort of odd sensations and phenomena that seems to happen, and it's very quick. It happens in about 5 or 6 seconds of my leaving, and then it takes them a little while, I think, to sort of settle themselves in, but not too long, about 10 seconds or so, I think, these days. For the spirit team to actually take control of my physical body, because obviously once I leave, there's just this husk of a being. I'm a mere shadow of my former self. so that's sort of basically what happens, a bit like a kind of out-of-body experience, really. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, so well, I'm going to, hopefully they'll take me somewhere nice where the sun's shining or something like that, but who knows? I really don't know, and don't really care, really.
Well, that's why you can do it so well.
Well, yes, I suppose so. I suppose
so. You've got no fear.
Yeah, it's all to do with fear, really, that people have, which actually stops people from letting go and allowing people in the spirit world to kind of, like, take over. I suppose for some people this isn't a very nice thing to be able to, you know, to let people do, because they want to have, you know, feelings of control and that kind of thing.
Well, that's what we spend all our life trying to do, is to keep control of ourselves, our sanity, our, you know.
Yes, well, that's very true.
So,
very true.
Yeah, it's difficult to hand that over.
Yeah, quite so.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm off now. Bye.
Yeah, so anyway, Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you, is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And the White Cloud Group consists of many great minds as well as regular people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to gain an understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover is limitless, and hopefully it will help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed about the nature of your existence on Earth as well as your continued life after physical death. We do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, and our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit. So, if you do have a question relating to our subject today, and you'll find out all about that as we go along, the telephone number is in the US, it's 877-876-5227, Canada 888-810-8322, and international callers 001-530-876-3222. I'd just like to say, don't forget that we have another free mini Akashic reading show on the 19th of April, which is the next Thursday one that we have at this time. Do we have one space left? I think we might have one space left, but we've definitely got a couple of spaces left on the other show that we do on a Monday evening, on the 16th of April. So if you would like a reading, then just get in touch and we'll see where we can squeeze you in. And obviously, if you can't make either of these, we'll put your name down for another one when we do that again in a month's time after that. So to have a mini Akashic reading, we will need your full name at birth, including your middle name or middle names, your date of birth, one question, and email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay, so are you with us, Gregory?
With love and light, dear friend.
Hello.
Hello, my dear faint little bird.
Okay, so we are inheriting the divine today.
Yes.
We're finding out all about it.
All about yourself. Because that is the point we are trying to make this day. Human beings lack understanding of who they really are. How can you possibly move along your life pathway if you do not understand who you really are? People struggle with this situation and that. People have difficulty overcoming their anxious states, become distressed because of situations which are negative around them, which happen to them, and which they appear to be carried along by. These states of confusion arise through lack of contact with that aspect of self which is superior to your physical state. Yes, superior. Your spirit is superior to your physical state. Yet, it remains silent. It remains still, unless you are aware of it. If you make contact as a human being, a physical state being, if you make real contact and establish that link between your physical state and your divine self, then you will come to understand what is significant in your life. everything will change. Your whole auric identity? Nay, simpler than that. Your thoughts, your very core thoughts about yourself, will completely do a somersault. Turn you inside out. For a time, perhaps, in inheriting the divine, in searching for it and finding it, in discovering that particular pathway, you will actually possibly feel quite sick for a while. Elated, but sick. Sick because of, why didn't I see this before? Thoughts. How many of you have thought of that? How many of you come to a conclusion about a specific thing in your life and you thought, well, why didn't I ever think of that before? Why didn't I ever really go there before? How come it didn't actually be revealed to me? Quite simply because you do not understand who you are. That's why it isn't revealed to you. If you do not stride upon the pathway of well-being, if you do not bring to your own understanding something of that which you really centrally are, except rather than what everyone tells you you're not, why would you want to struggle along with your life with the thoughts and feelings and the sounds ringing in your ears from parents or other supposed loved ones or perhaps friends who actually do not acquiesce to your line of thinking? Perhaps it is that the way the construction of your thought is actually something which you find difficult for yourself. It's almost as though it's on the tip of your tongue, but you don't know quite how to put it together. This is sometimes how people feel when they are aware, perhaps, that there is something else going on inside. Within that well, somewhere in that murky depth, that is you. The knowledge is there. The awareness is of perhaps something perceived different from that physical state you are. Even though many psychologists may even tell you that you're mad or that you are hearing voices or that the feelings and sensations you are having at this particular time through your meditation are nothing but psychotic events or perhaps challenges to do with the mind over physical matter and are delusions, illuminations of pure illusion conjured up not from holistic behavior, but actually because you are duping yourself. I'm sure there are many people of medical science who actually feel and describe these very symptoms and scoff at those who say, oh, well, I am actually treating my own self in my wellness, thank you very much, through meditation and that kind of thing. And they say, oh yes, when did you last visit the doctor? When did you last have anything wrong with you? The point is that human beings try as they might, you see, in their own frail way because of the opposition of it. That's my point, really. Human beings around you are belittling the events and the effects that each individual makes for their own decision-making, their own judgment, calling it into question, always calling it into question, saying, oh, you can't do that, or that's an illusion. You're just fooling yourself and your mind. You see, human beings then fall into this trap, entrapment of negativity. Entrapment of saying, I cannot do, when you can. But because you're constantly told you cannot, you don't. And you think that you can't. But you can. So the point we wish to make here
is that you are each divine, each and every one of you. You must be. You have to be. Look at yourself. I don't mean to say the ugly bits, perhaps, but they are part of you too. But I'm saying that you see, the problem is, again, that if people first of all see the bits that they don't like, then they are ignoring all of those beautiful parts of you that you do like, or that you perhaps have lost sight of, because your main channel of event is about the imperfections rather than the perfections. Why would you want to focus upon those aspects of imperfection that you have, which only drum you down, which only diminish your vibration? Surely better, far better, would be to acknowledge those achievements you have made. Acknowledge the beautiful parts of your physical state. Find them. I dare you. Seek them out. Pull in closer to yourself those parts of you which you understand have been favorable in your life. By doing this, friends, you'll magnify what you are. By doing this, you will understand that, well, you have got gifts, after all. Surely, isn't that better? It isn't fooling yourself. It is acknowledging who you truly are. And so many people we observe from our side of life, as you walk around in your day, trying to overcome obstacles and hurdles put in front of you by others, by your own behavior, or whatever other effect comes about. You are there as a mortal being, struggling through life, but missing the point, failing to make the steps, the correct pathway, is an illusion to you. In order for you to truly focus and be positively forward-thinking, you need to be able to acknowledge that which is your inheritance from your life, from your continuous life in the spirit world. What a beautiful pathway that must be. And I have to say, friends, for each and every one of you, it is a miraculous pathway. Beautiful. Truly. Because the pathway, which is a part of your life, is a very real symbol of who you really are. And at times, my friends, you will look in the mirror, perhaps ignoring some of the things, these lesser traits you have, and perceive of yourself in a different color window, one which is vibrant and full of the colors of purity, for you do truly inherit the divine.
So Gregory, most of us have had those moments of, shall we say, feelings, deep-seated feelings, where we've felt a spark within us or something. And I don't mean through meditation. I mean, I don't know, maybe we were asleep, or we were woken up out of our sleep, or we were sitting there staring at something, a lovely view or whatever, and we've sensed a feeling of inspiration or something deep within us, something beautiful. What happens in those moments?
You are connecting. That is what happens in that moment. You are connecting, making that connection with your upper house purity, your spirit. That's what it is. It isn't something else. It isn't another being. You are connecting with who you truly are. You are pleasured in receiving that sense of union, if you like. Because when you feel you are completely harmonic with your environment, shall we say then that you are sitting on a seat, as you say, you are admiring a particular view, and you are just sitting there relaxing, drinking in the landscape or the vista that you see. Perhaps it is a sunset or on the ocean, or perhaps you're at a lake shore or something like that, or perhaps you're just looking at a wild animal going about its business, or something else, and it just captures your moment of realization. The moment of realization dawns upon you, oh, how beautiful that is. And you feel silent yet empowered by that presence, by the presence of the being, and also suddenly linking with that presence, you feel empowered by the presence of yourself. And you suddenly find that your face breaks into a smile. As though it moves across and cracks your face open wide. And you feel joy in your heart from the things that you see, from the expression of human nature, that you are able to observe this beauty in physical state. And that is truly when you are at one with your spirit. You find this inner joy just bursts out, just comes crashing through your mind, and just everything else seems as though it fades in the background. All your thoughts, all your alarming disagreements, everything to do with your life, that's all gone. All your own mind intention, all your own preoccupation and your presence is due to now, this place, perfect. You are in this sublime perfection, and the energy which is created in that moment is created because of your physical union with your spirit.
And you haven't even had to try.
And you haven't even had to try. Exactly.
Is that because at that moment you are not engulfed in negativity, particularly, you know, and all of the other things that normally get in the way of becoming in tune with your spirit in a conscious state, that is? Is it because you are feeling just vacant?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. And it is also because of the fact that because you are within the moment, you are actually aware that everything else just doesn't matter. It isn't important. And it isn't important. It really isn't. The only thing that's important is your relationship with your spirit. You've made it. You've won it. You are there.
Okay, hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello, friend.
Hello. I have a question.
Yes, certainly. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Alexis.
Hello, Alexis.
Hello, friend.
I have a question. I'm wondering, is there anything that we need to do or that to kind of protect ourselves from unwanted entities when, you know, if we want to channel?
Yes, absolutely so, friend. The thing to do is that you would obviously say your prayer or invocation, and within that would be the thoughts and feelings of asking for protection from the highest and best. Only from the spirit world. These words may be simple, but they are ultimately important. It is well that you understand the need for protection spend, because obviously you understand that there are negative forces at work. There may be negative forces in the spirit world. There may be negative forces in the physical plane as well, perhaps to do with people's feelings toward you or whatever. I'm not saying that there are. I'm just stating a point, a broad landscape view. The situation is, friend, that as long as you say this, then you will have done your part to make the best of what you want to achieve. Obviously, it will help even more if, when you are wanting to bring upon yourself this experience, that you actually think of it in terms and in ways of, not necessarily that you want to make particular contact with a certain being, because that may not happen, and it may be that the contact that you make calls themselves that being, but isn't that being. Yeah. So the situation is, you have to deal with this through practice and through really a state of devotion to the art of actually being able to let go without fear. It is most important that you have no fear. And then you can, hopefully, over a period of time, contact will be established. I know this is, for some people, a very difficult and tiresome road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been avoiding even trying because I didn't know how to, you know, protect myself to start with.
Yes. Well, the point is, my friend, I would say really and most sincerely that in order to open yourself up to anything, perhaps some people, and I'm not saying this is for you, but for some people, the opposition to allowing yourself to open up to anything external from yourself is always to do with the fear factor of what if the being who comes close to me is identifying themselves as one person and they're not really, they're somebody else who has some ulterior motive to draw close to me. And I do understand those sorts of fears which human beings in physical life have. I understand them completely. The thing I would have to say is that this is a very gradual process. Take it one step at a time. I would suggest that you really just meditate for your own vibration to accelerate that to begin with. Don't think about entertaining anything to do with relationships with other beings in the spirit world to begin with, because what you need to do is to accelerate your vibration. I'm not saying you're not beautiful, hun. Really, to be honest, the situation is just that you need to become more complete, and I'm not, this isn't an issue against you either, but every being needs to become more complete and at one with themselves and not have any thoughts and feelings of fear. And you see, I'm so glad, actually, that you made the call that you did, because so many people try to stride out and think that there is nothing to making contact with someone from the outside world, and far too many people make contact with beings in the spirit world and don't really know who they're talking to, even though these beings may give them an identification or whatever. It is only really going to be over a period of years that communication process will truly be established. Everything else is an experiment and should be seen as that. And you should always, if you are going to sit for spirit communication in that way, don't do it on your own. Always do it with someone else who is going to be there in physical life to watch over you. Do not rely upon your doorkeeper to do that, because that is not the doorkeeper's job. Basically, you are a being who has to take your own responsibility in these matters.
Okay. Okay, great.
I hope that is helpful, Ben.
It is. May I ask you one other question?
Okay.
Do you know who is Loantha?
Loantha, friend?
I don't know. The name
is it Roantha or Loantha?
Loantha.
Loantha.
Mm-hmm. Loantha, yeah. That name was repeated to me over and over and over and over when I was just waking up, and it was like just to make sure I got it right. Loantha.
Yes, I understand. Well, no. My friend, not personally. However, I am not actually observing your Akashic book or record at this time, so I cannot be specific. I can tell you most certainly that if a being from the other side has made an approach to you, then this is something that you will just take one step at a time, be very careful over it. As I said, you need to really have, don't do this in a situation on your own. You really need to sit and have someone else sit for you, and actually maybe even do this with a friend. Get a friend to come and sit for you so that they stay on the physical side of life, and then perhaps swap so that you sit for them for a little while. Just do this perhaps for no more than half of an hour, 30 minutes, and then you would actually exchange the situation, and in that way you see you can both progress. And that is something which needs to be transpired, to be brought about in your physical side of life, so that you learn situations of harmony and balance in your sitting. It's most important.
Okay, and Alexis, may I suggest that, if you want to know more of things in detail like that, of names, you never know, it might come up in an Akashic reading, and we are doing the mini free Akashic readings starting on the 16th of April, and there's another one on the 19th of April, which is the afternoon show, like today. If you want to email enq@spirit-teaching.com with your full name at birth, with your middle names as well, your date of birth, and one question,
you
get in touch. Okay.
Okay. And
okay.
So the email address, is that on the on your site here?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'd say our website is spirit-teaching.com, and the email is enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay?
Okay, thank you
very
much.
You get in touch and we can go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Easter.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, friend.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, so yes, if anybody else wants to call us, it's in the US, 877-876-5227, in Canada, 888-810-8322, and international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, and you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Nick Avery. Okay, so
he's under the sea again, friend.
Is he? Well, he was saying beforehand he was hoping he was going to go somewhere nice.
Yes, well, he's under the sea. Unfortunately, I understand it is a little dark, but he always wanted to go to this particular place. I understand it is they've taken him to the Great Barrier Reef at this time.
Excellent. I'm jealous.
Yes, quite so. After all, it is something that he would never actually be able to achieve himself, being that he can't swim.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, so we thought that would be keep him quiet for a while, you see.
Well, I'll see if he remembers any of it when he comes back. Does he not remember it when he comes back because of something that you've done or erased from his memory, or is it just down to him whether he remembers or not? Each time?
Yes, it is really usually a matter of whether he actually continues to make the connection. The point is, the trip is usually immersed in his subconscious somewhere. It is just perhaps that the syntax are not in place in order for him to locate them. Sometimes, you see, what happens is when your spirit and your consciousness are transferred somewhere else for the duration of, say, for example, a sitting like this, then what tends to happen is that sometimes the coordination between the two becomes a little blurred after a while. This isn't a fault of the mechanism. It is just a part of what happens. Sometimes we're able to organize it and it remains perfectly intact. And at other times, it just seems to lose a connection, a wire, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The syntax isn't intact. It isn't perfect, you see. But perhaps we feel that may be because of the temporary state of it and being kept away from the actual physical brain, which helps your communication and thought processes continue to logistically work through the situation.
Mm.
That isn't to say, of course, that it reflects on anything that happens to you in the spirit world, but just that for this particular situation, that tends to happen for our dear friend here. Other people who may be of shamanic practice or whatever have different sensations and completely different out-of-body experiences. They may not, after all, be able to actually communicate in the same way as we do using the physical body. It's actually because we've taken over the physical body that there appears to be this lack of sort of control, I suppose, to do with the conscious memory of those moments. As I say, sometimes they are remembered.
Mm. But when you're using his body like that, how much of his brain are you using?
Oh, quite a lot of it, because we're actually utilizing quite a lot of movement. If you have noticed or not, we are actually experimenting with using his legs at the moment, only for small, slight movements. But we are always trying to experiment to create rapid movements or certain inflections here and there to see how much of the cellular and muscular memory and the sort of motability, if you like, of the physical body that we can actually use through the mechanism.
Mm. But I know you're not taking you're not taking the words out of his brain, because he doesn't know half of the words that you talk, that you've come and spoken about.
No, quite not.
So it's not the case of that either, is it? Picking.
No, that is true. We sometimes use some small parts of the registry in order to equate ourselves with new modern language and that kind of thing. After all, back in 1723, I didn't talk it this way.
Mm.
I had more of a soft French lilt, in fact, in my own tongue, and also I talked a bit more like a yokel, I believe.
When you first started talking to us, you did talk in a French lilt. Quite different to the way you talk now.
Yes, quite so, because we have had to perfect it so that people could understand more clearly, using the correct syntax and that kind of thing, so that we could actually be more descriptive.
And it was a soft French lilt because?
Well, actually, because that was an effect that my mother had, because she was Swiss-French, actually, and that it was a form of language that I was a very fond memory of my very early childhood. And I was actually, I felt closer to her when I used that form of expression.
Mm, and it is a very soothing accent, actually.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yes.
Easy to listen to.
Completely, for sure.
Mm. Mm. Well, that was a nice little detour, wasn't it?
Yes, quite so.
Okay. So is it because, you know, our readings, everybody likes to have a reading, most people anyway, like to have a good reading.
Yes.
And is it because we are searching for the things that we know are there? I mean, apart from the obvious. Let me start again. You know these feelings of wonderment, of realization that we have, that you were talking about with this connection that
you
told us was our connection to our spirit.
Yes.
Are those moments triggers to help us to search, want to search to find out more about it? Are they moments that instigate a further way of searching for us?
Well, yes, of course, because once you have tasted that,
Surely you want to go back to it again and again and again.
And we don't know. And then we don't know, though, do we? So we go for readings and things like that. Because we feel deep inside of us there's something that we need to know.
Something missing.
Exactly.
Because there is.
Exactly. So that was my point. That's what I was trying to get to with that.
Yes. Well, yes, quite so. You see, the point is that people struggle in these roundabout-the-houses ways of trying to find, well, very well, I had enjoyment from that moment. It's almost as though people use their recreation time in order to try to become invigorated by doing physical things, because they think that that is actually going to fill the hole that they feel inside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean to say that I am insisting that human beings who have another occupation outside of their work or their family life or whatever, and do exhilarating things like rock climbing or falling off rocks or even jumping from bridges or even out of aeroplanes, I understand. And the point is that all of these things, yes, they're about pushing oneself and about finding the limits of your endurance and your acceptability, meeting the fear and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And actually creating that as a pathway to try to become more fulfilled, to feel as though you are enjoying every moment of your life. But the point I'm saying is, very well, do that if you want to. But at the same time, you are able, as a human being, to become more connected, more harmonic with the world in which you live by very simple things. You don't have to go and jump out of an aeroplane in order to discover certain things about life and about your own existence. These are things which you can use other methods to adopt and to actually help you to focus upon ways that you can really, really, truly be in touch with your higher divine self and accessing that inheritance that is a part of you, is a part of your duty of care, what you're supposed to do.
You see, a lot of people, for instance, the type of person that would want to jump out of aeroplanes and that sort of thing, or off of bridges on a bungee rope, would probably say that, why would I want to sit and meditate when there's all this world out there for me to go and live and enjoy and be exhilarated by?
But I'm not saying don't do that.
No, I know you're not. But do you know what I mean?
Yes, quite so. But I'm saying that by doing that, many people, and I'm not making this as a generalistic proposal, but many people do actually feel and think that what they are viewing, what they're seeing, has to be more important if they are being exhilarated by it through an actual physical experience. But they do not realize, perhaps, or people do not generally realize, that you can have the same ultimate experience by sitting in your chair.
Yes.
Or by sitting in a vista or a view and actually drinking that situation into yourself and becoming at one with it links you to the divine, which is part of your inheritance. You don't have to jump out of an aeroplane in order to understand a similar exhilaration exists in a different perception.
Absolutely. Well, people wouldn't possibly say, I tried it once and I just sat there and just...
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. My mind was just going babbling on and I just gave up and I can't see the point in it.
And then what, of course, happens is that their mind continues to babble for the rest of their lives and they don't actually learn any control over it. You just have this incessant babbling mind that people then cannot turn off. How many times have you heard that? Oh, I sat in meditation, but I can't turn off my mind, so I gave up.
I think everybody has days like that.
Well, yes, of course, everybody does. But the point is that I know that for some people, the attention span is short-lived. They want everything today now, Yes, quite so. They want everything today now. Put in the least amount of effort and acquire the most.
That's why you can, you know, if we were to manufacture some form of crystal or or gizmo that we could say, right, well, if you buy these, then, you know, wear it for a week and Gregory will bless it and do something or whatever.
Yes.
And then you will be clairvoyant for the rest of your life. We would be millionaires, wouldn't we? Or possibly very rich anyway.
But, my friend, isn't that what most people do with crystals anyway? Don't they say, oh, this will give you this healing thought or this will make this happen in your life?
Well,
yes, very well then.
Hmm.
That is a supposed energy. That is an inference of which there is a desire or a design within that particular crystal to emanate that energy. It may emanate an energy, but that is a part of the inherent earth desire. And what you are looking at as looking at the crystal is that a part of its energy is linked to the spirit of the earth. And that is, in fact, what you are looking at and observing. And when you come into touch with that, what is it doing to you, really? You're focusing your energy and your love, yes. You're feeling uplifted because you're wearing this little piece of rock round your neck. Does it really?
Well, aren't you feeding it those emotions? Aren't you?
That is my point, really, friend, that you are feeding those emotions. They're just making those emotions come to the surface within your own life. They would be there anyway. You're just using it as a placebo effect to help you, to focus that way. It isn't the crystal that's doing it. Your mind's doing it. Your engagement with your consciousness is doing that, not the crystal. What you are doing is you're changing your outlook because you're wearing a piece of stone.
It's a bit like having a positive affirmation or a positive statement.
Yes, quite so. Take a few tarot cards and look at those for inspiration. You can actually connect exactly the same with your divine if you want to do that. Just say the words, mouth the thoughts in your mind to do that and bring it about, and you will. That's my point of the connection, you see.
As children, do we have these moments? Obviously, not all children have had such an easy life and a life that would lend itself to these moments. But do children generally have these moments more so than when you're grown up, this attunement with your spirit at different stages of growing up?
Well, yes, I would suppose so. I cannot say that it is ultimately linked to the growing pattern, although some parts of it are. For example, a child of three does not have the same motion or emotional control, does not have the same idea of spatial identity in the same way of a three-year-old as it does as when the child is five. When a child is five, it will have a great deal more awareness about spatial intensity as well as vibration. However, a child when they are three is also not necessarily going to have the same amount of negative impact upon their lives by that early stage, unless, of course, they are unfortunate enough to live in a family of disarray.
So, when it seems that as we grow, as children, we are easily occupied and happy doing, like I say, just playing in the garden with a ball, with a stick and a box, I don't know, whatever, chasing butterflies. As we get older, it gets a lot more harder for us to feel any form of peace, and obviously people turn to drugs and drink mainly, usually first.
Yes.
So is it something that we really are trying to find, replace this feeling, this innocence, this feeling of not needing something to make us feel good, but never really having to thought about it before because life just made us feel good when we were children?
Yes, quite so. And because of the lack of thought, it meant that as children, you perhaps were not directed into being aware of where that unique harmony actually came from. That you're perhaps then as you grow up, you become older and you become more detached from those thoughts. because other thoughts and other situations have taken over your life. You have ceased to be in touch with that initial wisdom, which was a part of the simplicity of life, the perfectness, the perfect state of it, the harmony that you felt, perhaps just in sitting in the garden amongst flowers or plants or whatever, or even just looking at them, is quite different from one child to another. Other children may not ever do that, even at the same age. They may look at a flower and try to stamp on it or something like that. You see, that is doing something completely the opposite. What is inherent in that contact generally tends to be that there is aberration, there is negativity, disagreement coming from the parental control, which has brought that about in the child. So the child has actually lost contact with their innate spirit self already. So that is a great shame, don't you think?
Well, absolutely,
I do, yes.
It's a demonstration of the negativity that they are
surrounded with.
Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Quite so. Yes. And you see, so unfortunately, that child then has lost the inheritance of the divine in their own walk of life. How can you possibly bring that back? Well, what you have to do is actually to refocus that child. They may have had a difficulty. They may have had a difficulty from some physiological situation to do with their genetics or their particular pathway of cellular activity or something like that. So their mutation may have caused that. Because don't forget that everyone is mutated from one another. So you are. That's what makes you different. And it is the mutations that you either applaud or decry as being ugly.
I'd just like to tell the listener that we're actually writing a children's meditation book at the moment. We're sort of like 3/4 of the way through it, I think, nearly there.
Yes, quite so.
And hopefully this will help children, hopefully. I mean, it is for children to read.
Yes, I believe it is for the children of the years from around 10 years of age upward, really.
Yes. So that's exciting. And you said earlier on that everything will change, your thoughts, your aura. How will your aura, because we've talked about thoughts.
Yes.
How will your aura change when you are in contact, when you inherit the divine?
Well, your aura will change because of your thoughts, because of what actually inspires you and what brings you to that place of stopping the link between yourself and your negative barriers. So by taking those away, when you see, when you become immersed in this beautiful vista or state, perhaps it isn't even looking at a particular landscape or something like that. It might just be looking at leaves or being in the aura of a tree or something like that, or some other plant or animal. Something else on your side of life, perhaps your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, you see. These are empowerments of love that you come upon. And what actually happens is that when you come into that state of realization of this beauty, of this purity, when you do that, your aura just extends out as though it's an explosion. It extends out from perhaps previously, before you did that, before you came upon that vision, it would be anything from just a few inches from the surface of your skin to perhaps 7 or 8 inches. Or perhaps the extremity may be, in a normal human being, around 12 to 18 inches outside of your physical body. When you have this experience, that will suddenly accelerate to 5 or 6 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet away from your physical body. And what happens during these thoughts, during this culmination of emotion, of inheriting the divine, your divine inner will and self, that blessing path to your spirit, what actually happens then is all the beings that are around you, insects or whatever, they all acknowledge that you've been there. And that's what happens. So your aura explodes in this way, and all the other beings go, oh, there's another one. Isn't that nice?
Oh, lovely.
You see?
Mm.
This is something which other beings experience all the time. But as human beings, you're so worried about everything, you're so negative about things, that you cut that off. You just simply chop it off. At the moment you start worrying and fretting over something else. That is why we try to encourage human beings in physical form to not to relive these experiences, but go out and enjoy them. Make contact with your inheritance, your divine inheritance of self. It is a part of the pathway of your true life experience in the physical state. It's part of your reward, if you like, for your duty of care. Now, it isn't to say that children in their small form have a sense of duty of care. What they do have a sense of is their inheritance of the divine. And they see beautiful moments. They experience beautiful moments. Even if it's just managing to manipulate the arm so that the finger comes to their mouth. That's a beautiful experience. It's satisfying. You see, simplicity is the key to your life, to inherit the divine.
Okay, well, that's been lovely. Really enjoyed that, and I hope everybody else has. I'm sure they have.
With blessings and thankfulness for your pathway, my dear friend, little bird, we thank you with love and with true sincerity. As always, may all of you enjoy your walk and try to find your true pathway to enlightenment.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our mini Akashic readings again. And the next one on the Thursday afternoon show is the 19th of April. And we do have some spaces left on the 16th of April, which is the Monday evening show that we do, 7 till 8 PST, this is, okay? So we would need your full name at birth, including any middle names, your date of birth, one question, and email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay? So, as I said, I do hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been very, very interesting and enlightening, and thank you for your call. And as well as Spirit's Work Radio on BBS on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have the Spirit Teaching Radio show on artistverse.com on Tuesdays. Details are on our site, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.